Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, it is a new month, the month of July, and we've got a five-part series that I think is incredibly relevant right now. It is a topic that is close to your heart, something that you have helped me and many, many, many others see more clearly from a biblical point of view. We want to talk about shepherding during this challenging time in our lives.
When we talk about the word shepherding, of course, we're talking about the organization of God's church. We commonly use the word elders. Here at Charlestown Road, we like the word shepherd better. I think it's more descriptive of the actual work. And so we want to talk about shepherding this whole month. And we encourage maybe our fellow elders out there and shepherds and preachers to kind of engage in this with us, to try to go through this journey with us together, to try to lay out some helpful things. Like you said, I've spent a lot of time just going through this, learning this, and sharing these ideas with other congregations and other people. But the topics we want to look at, just kind of give you the overview as we begin, and then we'll focus in on today's. We want to begin by talking about shepherding during a crisis. Challenging times calls for challenging leadership, and that's where we're going to begin today. And then next week, Lord willing, we want to talk about knowing the condition of your flock. This is a wonderful passage from Proverbs 27, but we're going to look at it through the lens of a New Testament verse. And how can shepherds better know the condition of their flock? From that, we want to talk about Psalms 23 and the footsteps of a shepherd. And notice the good shepherd that's found there. Lesson 4, we want to talk about the shepherd-sheep relationship and some basic principles that will help each other in that. And then we want to wrap the series up in lesson 5, and the lesson we don't talk about very often, but we want to talk about how the sheep can help the shepherd. We often talk about the other direction, how the shepherd helped the sheep, and that's really the call of their works, to helping the sheep. But I believe there's a lesson there that the sheep, the congregation, can do to help the shepherds, and we will focus on those things there. But today, let's talk about shepherding during a crisis. We begin by understanding that leading is never easy. Whether you're talking about an organization, you talk about the home, you talk about the church. It's never easy because some never want to follow. That's a difficulty right there. Some are content and they don't want to move. They just kind of want to stay put where they're at. You got that teenager at home and he has the lazy bones. Well, it's kind of hard to lead, but that's what God calls upon us to do that.
If leading seems easy, you're probably not leading.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what makes us more difficult is when we sprinkle the time with a crisis. And that's where we have been since March. I mean, here we are in July. We go all the way back to March when the pandemic really exploded and we started worshiping at home. And all these preachers started doing videos and podcasts, and a lot of them were doing things they'd never done before. And on Sundays, we were taking the Lord's Supper just with our family at home. And here now we're starting to pick up now. We're starting to gather together in different places. And questions are going through elders' minds now. Are the people worshiping? Have they been worshiping all during this time period? You know, the information has been put out, but have the people really used that information? Have they been growing through this time period? And with all this pandemic and with the social unrest we're seeing in several major cities today, are the sheep anxious? Are they upset? Are they bothered? And I think those are some questions that's going to come up as we think about how we lead as God wants us to lead.
One of the very, very relevant passages that we can go to when it comes to
not just having the heart of a shepherd, but performing the work of a shepherd is 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's interesting that Peter uses both words, both descriptions there, right? In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, he says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Elder is certainly a perfectly valid God-breathed word to describe this work of service. But to your point earlier, maybe we get an even clearer idea as to what is involved when we get to verse 2. These elders are told, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Sometimes these men who are performing this work of service are described as overseers, right? And that certainly falls in here. They are encouraged to do this not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So much packed in there, but a couple of things that stand out to me from the very beginning. First of all, there's a chief shepherd who is going one day to appear, and he's got an expectation, right? He's got expectations for the sheep, but he's got expectations for shepherds, even during times of crisis.
You know, one the contrast is seen, there's several contrasts layered in here, is, as you said in verse 1, verse 2, when Peter uses the word elders, that's describing the man. He is elder, not elderly, as we think about an older person, but he's experienced. He's not Johnny on the block. He's not a new kid here. He's been through some storms. He's been through some crises in his own life, and he's a spiritual rock. But then verse 2, when he gets the shepherd, that's the nature of the work. So we got the man, and we got the shepherd. And then when he uses the word exercising oversight, that's where we get the word bishop from. And so the three terms are describing the same group of people. So an elder, a bishop, a pastor, or a shepherd, those are all the same group, describing different functions that they are to do. Now you'll notice, if you have your Bible, notice how he makes these contrasts, positive and a negative, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. This is not something I have to get up and go to work Monday morning. I have to. There's a little heart into that. There's no joy into that. There's a contrast there. And then he says, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. There's a contrast. He's not doing it for money. He's not doing it for wrong reasons. He's not doing it to make himself seem like he's the power man in the church. He's doing this with eagerness. He wants to lead the people of God to God. And then we see not lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples. There's, again, another contrast. He's not driving cattle here. He's leading sheep. And as he does that, he's trying to show them, follow me, do what I do. And he's setting forth the example as he himself follows the chief shepherd in these things.
And we realize when we're talking about this flock, we're talking about people, right? It's so important, I think, to get in our minds from the very beginning. These have been difficult months for people all over the world, all over this nation, in our region, within the life of our own church family. This has been a difficult, certainly the most difficult stretch of months that I have experienced in my lifetime, as far as what's going on in society and culture around me. A good shepherd notices, is aware of, thinks about, plans for, makes adjustments for people who are distressed in his care.
And I think that word adjustment is a great word. Now, we're not changing the pattern of God. We cannot touch that. We're not changing what God authorizes. We cannot do that. But we have to make adjustments. We've made adjustments with the times of services, how we're meeting, and things like that. And to just go on as if nothing is going on, just act as if everything's normal when it's not normal, is almost insulting. And it's hurtful to the people. And so a shepherd recognizes that these are tough occasions. This is tough times. If the Lord allows this old world to keep going on, I sometimes wonder if he will, but if the Lord allows this old world to keep on going, generations from now, there'll be books written about this year. And they'll be talking about all the things that was going on in this world and how unnormal everything seems to be. But there's going to come out two things out of this. There are some people who are going to come out of this, and they're going to come out well. They've come out strong. They're going to be better than they've ever been before. And part of that is because of the things that's been provided and the way that they've been shepherded. Other people are going to crash. And we're going to find out that their houses were built upon the sand. And through this crisis, they have become ruined. And that's something that we want to avoid as best as we can as we think about how we lead other people.
So, Roger, when you think of, okay, we've got the template in our mind. Jesus is the chief shepherd. He has instituted in his divine wisdom. It is still a plan that endures. It is God's way. Thousands of years later, that there would be shepherds watching over the flock of people that is among them. We understand that the chief shepherd is going to appear again, right? And those shepherds are going to give an account for their watching over the souls of these people. It's spoken of in glorious terms, right? These shepherds will receive the unfading crown of glory. Their efforts are not overlooked or taken for granted or wasteful by any means. So we've got the lens in our mind. We're talking about men watching over the souls of people for their good and God's glory. What stands out to you about doing the work in a time of crisis?
You know, first of all, it is really interesting, of all the animals that God made in his creation, and you can just think about walking through a zoo, I mean, there's just all kinds of critters. God refers to his people as sheep. I mean, we're not donkeys, we're not bunny rabbits, we're not eagles, we're not crocodiles, we are sheep. And sheep need somebody to follow. That's the nature. And sheep get scared, and sheep need attention. And so that brings to our mind, first and foremost, in a crisis, the shepherd must be visible. He must be seen. And again, sometimes social distancing will not allow that, but there's ways of doing that. There's ways of putting out messages, whether it's emails or videos, just a voice from the shepherds that we're at the helm. We know that we're going through some rough seas, but we are here.
That comes right out of John chapter 10, right? Where Jesus talks about how the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And you've got videos here and there, different examples where you can have 300 different sheep, and they're from all different sorts of flocks, but when their shepherd calls them, they'll all leave the crowd, right, and follow the shepherd. I have appreciated so much the fact that our shepherds here at Charlestown Road for I don't know how many weeks in a row have released a video specifically aimed at just talking to our people. To your point, that's reassurance. That gives people very much the impression that these men are thinking, they are planning, they are making those adjustments. They're concerned about us. They want us to see them and hear their voice.
And what you don't want is sheep wondering, where are they? What are they doing? And even before John 10, when we think about Jesus being a chief shepherd, we think about the time that Jesus was with the disciples in Mark 4 in a boat, in a storm. and the disciples thought they were going to die. They woke Jesus up. They went to Jesus. And so really the first point when we think about shepherding during a crisis is the focus has got to be on the Lord. The Lord was here before the storm. The Lord will be here after the storm, and we must focus on the Lord. We must be spiritual-minded. We must be praying. We must be worshiping. We must keep doing what God wants us to do. God doesn't have little asterisks every once in a while in the Bible where it says, do this except under these conditions you get a pass. No, we need to keep doing those things. And so the shepherds before us need to remind us of these things, that we'll get through this, and the Lord will help us, and the Lord is bigger and better than any storm. Greater is he, 1 John 4 says, he who's in you than he who's in the world.
That's going to involve those shepherds taking the time to refresh themselves, right? That's something that I think preachers, teachers, all of us need it, right? We realize that we cannot pour out what we do not have within ourselves. We can't lead people to water if we don't know where the water is. We don't do anyone any good if we are spiritually starved and parched in our souls and just crawling along the desert floor. Shepherds, preachers, teachers, all of us need to take the time to make sure that we're walking with the Lord. We're being refreshed by the chief shepherd. Maybe that's a really good opportunity or moment to remind those of us who are the flock. We need to be constant sources of encouragement and refreshment to these shepherds. We want to breathe as much life and encouragement and assurance into them as they are breathing into us.
And you do that by your contact with them. A little phone call, a little text, a little card sent in the mail saying, hey, I just appreciate what you guys are doing. We really appreciate how much you're keeping us informed. Just thank you for being there. We're not alone. We have you, and we know that we have the Lord. But that leads to the second point here. Focus on the Lord is the first point. Second point is shepherds must remain calm. We see this in our families. When there's a severe thunderstorm and the child runs to mom and dad, and when mom and dad have a sense of calm about them and everything's okay, that child falls right asleep back in the bed. But when mom and dad are panicky and they are scared, the child gets even more scared. So it's important for the leaders to remain calm. You do this by your personal walk with the Lord. You do this by your faith and your assurance and your trust. It's hard to convince others of those things if you're yourself not convinced of that. And so difficult times, absolutely. You know, you think about the time in the book of Numbers of the spies coming back from seeing the promised land and how 10 of them gave that negative report, and the hearts melted, it says. But Joshua and Caleb, they gave that confident report. They believed in the Lord. That's the kind of spirit we need to see. We need to see a sense of assurance based upon what God says that will get us through these things and these difficult times that we're enduring and facing. And again, to see the spirit of the leaders is going to trickle down to how the flock reacts and responds to these things.
The next thing that absolutely needs to be on the radar is leaders at times have to make tough calls, right? I remember vividly, as I'm sure you do, we had a kind of emergency meeting on Thursday, March the 12th. I remember what night it was where these men gathered together. We were still here at the building. We were in the room, and they would not have ever imagined in January of 2020 having to weigh whether or not to suspend in-person assemblies. But that's leadership, right? Sometimes being the leader means being willing to make a tough call.
And for us here personally, we've had to cancel a VBS. We've had a spring gospel meeting we've had to cancel. We've had to make some adjustments in our summer series we're doing here. Making a tough call. It's not always the popular call, but they got to keep in mind the safety of the congregation and the spiritual well-being of the congregation. Those two go hand in hand. One's not greater than the other. They both go hand in hand. And with making a tough call, oftentimes comes criticism. And people who don't know better, people who do not understand the roles that they're looking at, people who don't understand that they're looking at the entire congregation and just not one or two people, will make some shots. And some of those shots are completely off base. A lot of them are not fair. But the true leader will keep leading because he knows that this is the right thing to do. And again, we look to the chief shepherd and the shots that were taken at Jesus, how they tested Jesus, how they accused him. They said he had a demon. Another occasion, they said he was a Samaritan. Just all kinds of unfounded things they would say about Jesus. But the Lord didn't go home. The Lord didn't say, well, I'm done with you people. Figure it out yourself. He didn't do that. And good shepherds are going to keep going and keep doing what's right and set forth the atmosphere that what they're doing is following the Lord and for the well-being of all of us.
Can you imagine, Roger, on that Thursday evening back in March, if those men had said, well, why don't we send out a poll to 400 people and just take a vote as to what everybody thinks we should do. You can imagine how insane that would be, the wide variety of responses. But leadership is about so much more than just being a pollster, right? Back in Acts chapter 6, when there is that very real issue between different members of the church in Jerusalem, the apostles don't set everybody down and take a poll. They come up with a plan, they delegate, they take the lead, they keep their eyes on the goal. And I think even here you see the wisdom of God, where you have these men who are watching over the souls of people. You have deacons who are doing so much work behind the scenes. We have so many deacons here at Charlestown Road who have been instrumental in helping us weather this time of difficulty. If the shepherd is worried about making sure that the floor is vacuumed and the light bulbs are ready to go and the projector is working, suddenly now what suffers is people aren't being watched over.
And to what you say, you know, God's pattern, and we see this through Jesus himself, is the shepherd leads the flock. It's not the flock leads the shepherd. Yeah. And so if the shepherds are constantly asking the sheep, well, what do you want? Imagine the parent doing that at home. You know, before us, we're faced with two issues. Do we pay the mortgage this week or do we go to Disney? Well, you ask four kids and mom and dad outvoted, aren't they? We're going to Disney and who knows about the house. So making the tough call is something that the leaders have to do. And they will discuss this. And I know they have agonized. Our guys have just agonized thinking about this person, this family, this person, all the perspectives. Those who are high risk, those who are young families, those who are new in the faith, and looking at all these different scenarios. What's best for this flock? Not really worrying about what other churches are doing now. We're going to think what's best for us. And then sticking with that call. Because they feel like this is the best, made with prayer and made with careful consideration.
Let me speak one more time to the members of the flock. If the only time the shepherds hear from you is when you don't like what they made in that tough call, the decision they made, you're not doing yourself or them any favors. You're not honoring the Lord. It is so refreshing when a tough call has been made to hear from people. Maybe it's not the call that they would make, but they appreciate the fact that someone was willing to do it for the good of the church.
And Jason and I know this. I mean, you know, we did about 2 or 3 months of sermons into a camera. Mm-hmm. And with no audience, if they had asked me, do you want to do that? The answer would have been no. I really don't want to do that. That's not preaching to me. But it was the right thing to do at the right time. And if they had asked me again, I would do it again because Absolutely. They understood the big picture. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the last point that we wanted to focus on was helping those who are scared.
Absolutely. And again, focus on the Lord, remain calm, make the tough call, and then helping those who are scared. That's the work of shepherds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted. We separate that word, and we have faint in heart. Here's someone who's scared easily. And in our times, how easy it is. I mean, you watch three different newscasts in one day, and you get three different concepts of what we're supposed to do. Act like there's nothing out there. Wear your mask 24/7. Don't wear the news is conflicting. There's a lot of social tension going on right now, and there's a lot to get people just upset. All they want to do is hunker down at home and just give up. And so the shepherds have got to pay attention to that. They have to look among the flock and see who's vulnerable, not health-wise, but spiritual-wise. Who may be someone that leans toward being faint-hearted. They need to make the personal phone calls and send messages to these people to see, how are you doing? You know, we've sent out just a whole bunch of videos and podcasts and all kinds of, are you staying up with these things? They need to put that before the people to see how they're doing. And we're going to talk about this in future lessons, but sometimes one of the mistakes shepherds make is they have that 32,000 foot view of the church. And when you've ever flown an airplane, you look down, you see the big farmlands of the Midwest, everything looks fine. You get on the ground, then it could be a different picture. This farmer's got problems with bugs, and this problem, the farmer's got this problem, and you don't see that up at 32,000 feet. The 32,000 foot of the church simply is, we have no false teaching, everyone's together, everyone's fine. But you don't realize the unique needs. You don't realize that here's a family that's scared. Here's somebody that's lost his job. Here's somebody who's got a loved one in assisted living and they can't go see this person. Here's someone who's had a funeral and only 10 people could show up. And all these different things is going through the hearts of the people there. Good shepherds are going to know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know I have said, I've heard you say, we are so blessed here at Charlestown Road, even just the two of us as preachers, to know that we can answer the call of Paul to Timothy to pay attention to ourselves and the teaching, devote ourselves to the ministry of the word, and know that these men, our shepherds, have their eyes on the people. That's not to say that the shepherds don't pay attention to the teaching or preachers don't pay attention to the people, but it goes back to those God-defined roles. And it is amazing, even in 2020, when we just do what God tells us to do, God's way works.
And I think when this is all over, and some younger men look back to see how things were done, there's going to be a lot of younger men say, you know what, I need to step up someday and be a shepherd too. I need to be like these guys are. These guys handled the crisis. They got us through the storm. We remain strong and together and true, and I need to do just what they're doing.
Shepherding during a crisis. Some valuable things to think about. Being visible, focusing on the Lord, staying calm, being willing to make those tough calls, and helping those who are scared. Roger, as you mentioned, that will lead us, Lord willing, next Friday into this powerful statement from the Proverbs, know well the condition of your flocks. 2 weeks from today, we'll be in Psalm 23. 3 weeks from today, the shepherd and sheep relationships. And Lord willing, that last Friday in July, how the sheep can help the shepherds. Valuable things to think about in July of 2020.
We encourage you to share this with others, and these will be listed on our podcast so you can go back and re-listen to them. Good material to have for a class sometime to help other people.
Appreciate you joining me today, Roger, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for your journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, that chief shepherd, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.